Hey, Good Fox here. Today we got episode number 119 of the Mutt Men podcast. I'm joined as always by my good friend, Texas Boy. How are you?
I'm doing good, Mr. Fox. How are you doing on this nice day?
I'm doing fairly swell. We are recording on a unique day because we have a very unique guest, one that we've had on the podcast before, Clint Oldenburg. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, well, I'm doing well. So you've been promoted. You've been promoted since our last podcast to the head gameplay guy, right?
Yeah, I am the creative lead of gameplay. That is correct.
So it's like Rex's old position where he had, right?
Well, one of them. Rex was a man that held many positions here, and this was one of them. Yeah, that's correct.
I gotcha. All right, so we don't have a long time because we're keeping you after work, so we're going to try and do like a rapid-fire question session. There's going to be a lot of things we want to get through that we might not be able to. For people that don't know, this is going to have nothing to do with Mutt since he's a gameplay guy only. We'll try and get maybe a Mutt producer here in the future, maybe Jake back, so on and so forth. Tex, is that your dog barking?
Yeah.
All right, I'll ask the first question. Hey, so Clint, there was a little bit you've had a kind of a rough week here. So far as the community, there was a little controversy there with the Game Changer program. Could you maybe explain a little bit about what happened in the catfishing?
Sure. I get why the community made a big deal out of that, and I understand it, but I don't agree with it. I wouldn't even call it a controversy. It's just one of those things that happens on social media, Twitters, whatever. But essentially, again, as I explained to one person who reached out and asked, my intent was I saw a woman who had apparently what appeared to be 21,000 followers, and somebody with that kind of reach is definitely someone who I would want to at least get to apply for the program, because we need more diversity in our program, whether it be younger players, women players, minority players. We need more people in the program like that, because we view our game changers as constituents of certain players, you know, player bases, people who come to represent a certain section of players and give information to us about what those players want to see in the game.
It's interesting that you know, are reaching out to those new demographics, because I look at my YouTube analytics, and I've heard this the same thing from other YouTubers. My 13 to 17-year-old, when you mention younger viewers, I get 3.9% of my watch time from them, 13 to 17-year-olds. So 18 and over is almost 96% of my audience. Obviously, for women, I have about 2% of my audience, a little bit under 2%. Are female, and those like 45 to 54-year-old, according to YouTube analytics, like that has like the highest percent of women. 2.8% of that age group is women, so I'm guessing that's just maybe young kids on their mom's account. But so it is maybe Madden the game itself, and this isn't going to be an interview about demographics and stuff, but is it kind of like, are you guys trying to do as a studio, reach out to maybe underserved or under represented people in the Madden scene to try and expand the game's, you know, player base?
Yeah, I would say both in and outside the Madden scene. We're interested in all players, anyone who's a gamer. We're interested in always growing our player base, because that's how we grow and that's how the community grows, is to widen the scope. And so we're always interested in opportunities. And if an opportunity, again, what appeared to be an opportunity, unfortunately, it wasn't real this time, but it appeared there was a wide-reaching woman gamer who was interested in Madden, and that caught my eye.
I got you. Yeah, so Tex was out at EA Play, and he said The Sims is where you got to go. I don't know. Is there any way of Madden hooking in with The Sims?
I have no idea. That's a question I've never heard before. No, I don't think so.
It's more of a joke. All right, Tex, I'm done with my first question. You go.
All right, so real quick, Clint, can you explain to the people who are unfamiliar about the new zone threshold in Madden 19?
There is no zone threshold in Madden 19.
Okay.
Assuming that's what you're referring to from the blog?
Yeah, it's much like the 99 zone rating being the top tier.
Yeah, essentially the behavior that you guys saw last year with the 91 zone is now the behavior that you'll get at 99. And so it now scales again appropriately back from 99. Mm-hmm. And the biggest difference there is, no matter what your rating is, you're not going to see them breaking on throws they can't see. So, you know, you try to throw to a guy with his back turned, he would often break on the throw last year. That's not going to happen even with a 99 player. So it's much more balanced, and it gives a lot more value at the top end of that scale.
Okay. And so in the blog, it also mentions that like pretty much any zone in the game has a 10% chance to play like 99 zone.
No, you have to be over. Let me see. I'd have to check records. It's somewhere between 80 and 85. Okay. You have to be over that zone rating to even have a chance to jump the throw right away. So yeah, if you're like below that, you're not gonna be able to do that.
Okay. And is that with any other ratings in a game, or is that just specific to zone coverage?
Specific to zone coverage.
Okay.
There's a lot of different tunables that have different, I guess what we call thresholds or different triggers, but each is unique.
Okay. Fox.
So with that, like, with things randomly jumping like 99, have you heard feedback from your players that maybe it causes like a lot of like undeterminable outcomes? I don't even know if that's a word, but like basically people are confused. Like I throw this route, I don't know, 10 times, and then one, like 9 out of 10 times it's great, the other 1 out of 10 times it's picked. Is that going to frustrate players? Because I've noticed, can we talk about the beta during this, and can I give you a thought about it or not?
So the first rule of the beta is we don't talk about the beta. So if you have general thoughts about it, you're more than welcome to give them to me. I wouldn't go into specifics. Okay. I certainly will not be going into any specifics about the beta.
Okay, I'll just talk about Fight Club then. So Fight Club, I notice sometimes when guys like randomly break, they kind of break away and stuff. So is throw on break still an issue in 19?
You mean break on throw?
Yeah, so like when like a C route's thrown and it's on break, you throw it, and then does the guy react weirdly to it? Because it feels like sometimes in 18, it's like if they have above 91 zone, you can throw on break and they'll break wrongly. Is that something that you guys looked at and fixed for 19?
Yes, I haven't seen anything specific to that. The Game Changer group that we had in a while ago was pretty happy with the state of coverage. Obviously, there's still some feedback coming in through the beta, things that we're still working to clean up. But for the most part, everything seems to be working pretty good.
Okay. Because you guys put out a patch today, and I haven't played it with the patch, so I may be talking wrongly. But like, it does feel like the offense is going to be – it's going to be a little bit easier to pass in 19 than it was in 18. Would you say that's true?
No, I would definitely say that is not true.
So you think
the exact opposite.
So you think 19 is going to be harder to pass? Is that because of the extra pass rush that you guys put into the game, or because zones are breaking just as well, or what? Why is 19 harder than 18?
I think it's really just the investment that we put on the zone coverage AI this year. We made a significant investment to go further in making zones play smarter and play different routes differently, specifically deep zones, mid reads, cover four quarters, curl flat. We worked a lot on that stuff, and it has balanced the game out quite a bit.
Okay, because in Fight Club, I noticed a lot of man match concepts and zones. Texas just told me, I haven't played the update today, but you guys took that out of cover three, cover four, in the Fight Club of man match and all those.
So again, I can't speak to anything going on with the beta at this time. So I apologize.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Tex.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's from my experience, it's gonna be harder now to pass, Fox.
Okay.
Based off of the stuff working, you're not gonna see as many beaters as we were seeing in the beta. So, which is, I would say, it's a good positive right now. I was worried. I was like, oh, this is not gonna be good. I was worried.
All right. Here's my next question. So with the run game. You guys push the pile into the run game. Is that going to reward people for not having like a good run stick? Basically, all you have to do is run into the back of your lineman. Like, you're basically rewarding people for missing the holes this year. Is that an issue?
No, that's a mechanic. You don't get it for free. You can't just run into them and get it. You have to hit the window with your right stick, and you have to hold the right stick up to get into that interaction. And when you get in the interaction, there's a lot of different outcomes that occur, ranging from a tackle to a broken tackle to a number of other outcomes that can happen. So that's a skill mechanic.
Well, what stats will affect you on a running back? What stats do you want to help maximize that, push the pile?
Let's see. We actually use the truck rating on the running back for that.
Okay. All right. That's cool. So does strength play into any effect of running backs?
It does in other formulas, not that one.
Okay. All right. Hey, so is sorry, Texas, for doing so many questions on the run game in this back. Hey, is there any way to make, you know, stuffing the run less reliant on block sheds? Like, because you know how, like, Le'Veon Bell has his hesitation behind the line of scrimmage and waits for the defense to make a mistake, then exploits that hole. But in man, it feels like oftentimes the run game is based off an insta-win on the D-line or win basically ruins your day. Whereas, like, in the NFL, it's kind of like basically setting up blocks and you don't see as many blocks as you would in Madden. Is there any way of moving more towards that type of run stuffing, less away from, like, block shedding?
Yeah, we would love to. It's certainly not as straightforward as we would like it to be. It's always very tough to balance the block sheds, specifically in the run game, because if you turn them down just a little bit, then it's very easy to gain 5-6 yards a carry, which is tough. And then you turn them back up, and then everyone says, oh, man, there's nothing but insta-sheds going on. And we're talking about a timer that exists between, you know, a tenth of a second to a half of a second that you're tuning between every single year. So it is a tough balance with what we currently have in the game, but obviously it would be great to build in things like you're describing more and more every year.
I get you. I find myself oftentimes, like, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of penetration, you know, like pushing of the lineman back against the run, whereas, like, on double teams you see them push down a defensive lineman down the field and then kick up, but it doesn't feel like the other way happens as often. What's up?
It's pretty intentional. Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
It is intentional that the defenders don't get a ton of push into the backfield in our game, and the reasons for that are a few. First and foremost is when we had them in, we've played around with them a number of times since I've been here. They can easily run into the quarterback while he's trying to hand off the ball. They can run into a pulling lineman while he's trying to pull and completely ruin the play. They can just cause all kinds of unintended failure to the play that doesn't lend itself well to having a clean gameplay experience.
Well, isn't that kind of similar to like a block shed ruining the play just as quick?
Not really, because the block shed is the guy won his matchup. He goes in the backfield, he makes a tackle, rather than a two-man interaction getting pushed and physics mushing into a bunch of players and causing them to do a lot of unintended actions thereafter.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't, like, it basically looks like spaghetti code at that point. Like, everybody just kind of goes randomly wild.
Yeah, because we have physics in our game, so you just make random contact with a player and completely take him out of the play in a way that's not designed into the game.
I gotcha. Okay. I could see the game balance reason for that, and so maybe that's part of the reason why block sheds are the way that, like, you guys balance stopping the run instead of more like penetration. I get it. Tex?
Okay. So I'm over here with the hole going back to that. Can quarterbacks do that in 19?
Can quarterbacks use the hit the hole mechanic?
Yes. Or they're just strictly for running backs and...
They can use it on quarterback running plays, but not as scramblers or... Okay. You wouldn't be able to do it on QB sneak either.
Okay, I got to try that again. I was trying to get on Fight Club, as Fox would say, and I just couldn't seem to get it to work.
I want to touch on those two features really quick. You guys talked about them, hit the hole and push the pile. So they really are just extensions of existing mechanics. So the push the pile is an extension of the truck stick. Its use case is now very specifically for as you're navigating through line of scrimmage and you can't find an open gap and you have to run into a lineman, you're not going to get caught, snagged, trip, you know, so on and so forth with the physics system. Hit the hole is similar. If you want to get into an open gap, you just flick the right stick. You're going to do a contextually sensitive juke that's going to get you to the open gap and make sure that you don't run into any obstructions on your way through the holes. The intention of these features is to keep you in control of your player, keep you in locomotion so you can go back to doing the things you want to do, running the ball, rather than, you know, like I said, tripping or running into garbage as you're going through the line.
Gotcha. Yeah, I enjoy using it, so it's a cool mechanic. My next question, will we see more team-specific staple plays? So last year the Chiefs kind of killed the league early on with the tight end screens and the tight end passes. The Eagles won that Super Bowl with that Philly special, and then the Rams are notoriously known for running the one-man screens where Whitworth is leading for Todd Gurley. Will we see some of those plays make an appearance in Madden next year, or is that something on the slate for the future?
Yeah, some of them, not all of them. Some of them are in. We try to update our playbooks every year to reflect what we're seeing in the NFL, and a lot of them are there. Actually, the one that's my biggest disappointment is the Philly Special. We did not we were not able to get that in the game, and we certainly tried, but there was a number of problems with making that work and balancing it. And we did not get that delivered, and I think that is a big hit for us.
Yeah, and Tex, tight end screens are in the game; they're just not very good.
No, the way they ran it was like mostly like a shovel pass. I should say, not the screen. No, I'm saying no. Shovel pass.
Yeah,
they'll pass the ball to Travis Kelce, then he steps back, throws a pass down the field, like stuff that they like trick plays. Because Travis Kelce's better quarterback than Alex Smith.
So more trick plays. I mean, more importantly, I know a lot of people are looking forward to run pass options in the future. I know said in the
RPOs.
I think it was US Gamer or something. You said you weren't able to get them into 19. Is that something you're hoping for the future?
Yeah, absolutely. Always want to stay up with football trends, and that's unfortunately one of the bigger ones because it touches so many areas of the game. Definitely something we're interested in.
Okay. All right. So maybe on the future roadmap or something. And so I know a lot of this game and a lot of complaints in the community comes down to like the animations and something. You talked about wanting to run the ball and give us more control over that runner. So how much is this like you guys try to basically make it left stick versus right stick for running the ball? Like this past year and in the year before, like you use the or in the years before, you use like the double juke to try and get guys. It felt like you had control over the double juke. Use that method. Then you guys put in kind of like the spins and the jukes and whatnot to kind of RNG beat the opponent. You just hope your spin is able to fake out the opponent. How much are you guys trying to move back to like using the left stick to try and use that to try and fake out the defender versus maybe just like the RNG of hitting a B button and spinning them out?
I'm not sure. I guess that's not how we think of it. I think you can still, I don't want to say fake out is what we now call the actual interaction where the guy gets faked out. I will call out that you can no longer be faked out as a user defender in Madden 19 unless you're 25 points or more worse than the ball carrier's special move rating that he's trying to use. I do want to throw that out there, but I think to answer your question generally, we want to continue to move in a direction where we're giving you guys all the control that you're asking for so that you know that you're the one having the impact on the outcome of the play rather than something under the hood.
That's a good statement, an ideal world to go to. So like some people mentioned face catching. Is that something you hope to have back in the game where people can basically stop their wide receiver mid route, hit a button, go up and catch the ball like used to like Madden 15 in prior years?
I'm not sure. It's definitely something that we get requests for from the community but on both sides. Please bring it back or please don't bring it back.
I'm under the don't bring it back side because that it was pretty degenerative. It's like some people's entire offense and it was pretty bad at times.
Yeah, it's one of those things that is polarizing and I don't have an answer right now. It's not something that's going to be in Madden 19. So it's not a concern at the moment.
Okay. All right, Tex, you're up.
Okay, so keeping it with the having control of your players, how has the targeting system been improved in Madden 19 compared to 18? So that we are getting a scripted animations as users. So an example I can give was when I try to hit stick a running back in the backfield, sometimes the targeting goes to the lineman. I end up blowing up the lineman instead of hitting the running back.
So I think what you're describing is the new mechanic we put in last year for blow up the blocker.
Mm-hmm.
And really it's a distance threshold. And if the blocker is close to you and you hit it, you do have a chance to match that. But in my experience of playing the game and the feedback I'm getting, I'm not seeing a lot of feedback around what you're describing. So,
okay. Cause like when I'm editing videos, I see a running back run towards me, I'm running towards him and I go for the hit stick and then the lineman's behind him for some time and he just goes right for the lineman. So maybe I just see it when I'm like editing and not many people are noticing these plays because it happens in real time.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to keep an eye out for it. I haven't seen it a whole lot. This does provide another opportunity for me to point out, though, there is a difference. Introduced last year, good reminder that the hit stick and the cut stick are two separate mechanics. Up on the right stick is hit stick and down on the right stick is cut stick. I just want to call out the differences in those mechanics.
If you land a hit stick and a cut stick on a running back, is the fumble chance identical or is there a difference?
There's a difference.
Okay.
Which one's better?
Hit stick.
The hit stick. Okay. In fact, moving forward, it's probably going to be very unlikely that you can cause a fumble using cut stick at all unless it's against the quarterback.
Huh. Okay. Interesting. Our quarterback's going to fumble a lot in 19. If you can get a strip animation or hit stick animation, what happens? Is the quarterback like going to fumble a bunch, or is it's based on carry rating too, isn't it?
The ratings do play a part. But I know that you guys, especially the competitive players, want to see the quarterbacks fumble more. Looking into it to make sure the proper balance is there, but that's our goal, is to have them fumble a little bit more than they have in the past.
Okay. What if they're holding like right bumper on conservative carry?
We would still like if they fumbled.
Okay. All right.
Sounds good. I do too. It looks better that way as well when you're watching the competitive tournaments. Real quick, Fox, speaking about the like fumbling and stuff, how come strip is not as useful against quarterbacks as one would think it should be? So when a defensive end comes off the edge and you press right bumper, the quarterback breaks the sack more often than not.
Probably just tuning. Again, that's so you guys are giving me some great feedback here that I don't hear a lot. So that's probably just tuning and something that I will have to look at.
Okay, yeah, because there's a funny video of we're playing Mud Squads back in the game, like first came out. We tried to strip, it was a fake field goal, so we tried to strip the kicker who was throwing a pass. He broke three tackles. So I'll try to find you.
Playing on competitive games.
It was competitive, and it was the kicker had the ball. We pressed right bumper, he breaks tackle, go up the field, press right bumper again, break tackle, go up the field. It was hilarious. I'll try to find you the link.
Okay, all right.
All right, wait, Mud Squad is. Has there been announced? Is there been a Mutt Squad's deep dive yet, or is there going to be?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I can talk about the new mode in Mutt Squads that was released at EA Play. If you're interested,
yeah.
So we now have the squad battles. So you can team up with your friends.
Oh, right, the solo battles. Yeah,
the solo battles, and go through those matches with your buddies, just like you would as a one player team, and all three of you can get your rewards as you play through those solo battles together. And there's also a feature where there's going to be a team of the week or a team of the month where you're going to be playing a crowdsourced team. Maybe you jump on one night and you see, oh, it's Clint Oldenburg's Mutt team that you're playing against this week. So that's going to present a lot of cool opportunities in there as well.
Are you going to have all the hidden cards that are going to come out in the next couple weeks on that team? Are you going to give us a little bit of leaks there?
I hope so, man. I'm trying to get them to make a card of myself. I still can't get that pulled off.
I remember I played NFL head coach. This is kind of off topic. I think last year, and I remember they compared a draftable prospect to you, an NFL head coach. How good do you think that draftable prospect was?
Wait, what? Say that again.
So NFL head coach. I think it was like 09. I think head coach 09. So like,
no, the part about they compared a draftable prospect to me.
Yeah, yeah. You were the basically the outcome for this prospect.
That's
so they did this for each of the prospects. They gave them like a player role. So you always knew to draft, like, if this guy was going to be a Adrian Peterson or something, you're like, okay, draft that running back because he's going to be a superstar. It was an easy way of figuring out who to draft. But
awesome.
Yeah, so they compared one to you, and at least when I had a nice little chuckle. I actually didn't play it out long enough to see what his overall ended up being, but because
it probably wasn't very high. But I'm going to look around and see if that guy works here now.
The head coach guy that put it in.
No, the guy who was compared
to I gotcha.
Similar career path.
Yeah, I like that. Hey, yeah, so basically like a maybe it's a game changer or something that's getting compared to you. But
yeah, potentially.
So, hey, with Red Chems next year, have you guys finalized your decision on what is going to happen with Red Chems? Are they back? Are they gone from competitive? What's up?
I don't know. We haven't released any of that information yet, and those guys on that side of the building keep everything under lock and key, so I don't even know the answer to that.
So that's more of a Mutt thing and that kind of than actual gameplay?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's because I was just going to ask if we were getting new Red Chems or losing some, but if you don't know, we'll move on to the next one. Tex, you have a question?
All right. Yeah, so with player likeness, obviously you probably have been getting a bunch of questions about this. Will Alvin Kamara have his tape on his
that's
arms?
Terrible.
When the game
that's a terrible question, Tex.
No, it's not. I got more. Will Odell Beckham have his mouthpiece? Cats have his afro?
Stop.
No, you know, I actually have gotten that question before. I don't think so. We took the tape out a few years ago, and maybe last year, the year before. But as far as I know, it has not made a return.
What did tape do to you guys?
It was just a piece of equipment that nobody was using, and it was taking up a slot for something else. Because of the way that the system was set up, there was only a certain number of slots at the time. There was a certain number of slots for equipment items, and there was one that we wanted to add, so we got rid of that one as a swap.
Oh, interesting. Because I know you guys got more slots now, because you guys could, I think somebody, one of your producers bragged in a blog about having more shoes and stuff now this year. So you guys got more slots now than you used to have, right?
Yeah. We do have a few more. I still don't even remember the year we took the tape out, but there is more now.
Okay. All right. So maybe you return for the tape then?
I will look into it for post-launch. That's the best I can do.
Okay. Hey, kind of a game theory question. But do you believe one-play touchdowns are needed in the game to stop a defense from spamming one play? Like, if cover four drop show two, if you weren't able to bomb it, I think it'd be a lot more popular. As people just kind of sit in it constantly, because you can kind of play like a soft coverage and make them keep making plays, keep throwing drags, kind of make it hard for the offense to beat you down the field quickly. Now, do you think those are needed in the game to basically counter spam from the defense?
I don't know how to answer that one. You guys always hit me with such tough questions. It's something that is different on every single situation, right? From one standpoint, I would say, man, you should never get a one-play touchdown because the pass rush should probably get home before you can throw it, right? Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, oh, well, this guy's got a really good O-line, so he's going to hold the ball longer. Okay, well, how come the coverage doesn't stand up? Every time I look at a different scenario, I'm trying to figure out why a certain outcome happened the way it did. That's just how my brain works. But I don't think one-play touchdowns are bad for the game. I think having scoring plays and exciting things happening in a video game is always good. I just don't think you want them to be something that you can rely on every single time to become an exploit.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, there's certain exploits that maybe are tip the balance in the scales of, you know, a glitchiness, like the rack swerve this year or the swerve in 17. Whereas, like, I feel like coverage beaters are needed because that way you don't have somebody just rushing to every play and then you have to sit in the pocket for 12 seconds and then maybe a scramble drill works or it doesn't and they're able to use it. Then it kind of just becomes a little bit of a tougher, I don't know about boring, but I do think because then you're right about the pass rush and let me get to that in a second. But, like, if they're just sitting rushing two, they should be able to – the defense should know, you know, maybe they have to blitz if they don't want to get one played. But one plays, again, shouldn't be super easy. So I do understand it's a tough balance, like you say.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's so many moving parts in the sport of football and especially in our game. The most important thing is just that there's balance. You don't want anyone to just be able to rely on one thing all the time and be successful. You want them to experience everything in the game and utilize their skills to be successful.
Yeah, definitely. Talk about the pass rush, Star Tech. Let me ask one more. Did you tune it up this year, or is the pass rush harder this year, worse, or what's up with the pass rush this year?
We did turn it up a little bit. We made a design decision that with the improvements in coverage, the pass rush piece had to be there as well, because as you guys well know, the longer you sit in the pocket, no matter how good your coverage is, eventually it's going to break down. Yep. And the pass rush has to be there. I will say it's quite stiff. On All Madden, the pass rush is really stiff on All Madden, which is, I know, a popular mode for a lot of players as well. I think it's in a really nice spot on All Pro, Rookie, and Pro. I think All Madden, we still may have to do a little bit more tuning here in the near future, but we're still gathering feedback.
I gotcha. And with that pass rush, oh, Texas, you go.
No, well, you're on pass rush. I don't want you to like go from pass rush to something else. Like, go ahead.
Okay. Will pass rush? It's tough because a lot of times I see, like say I'm on a 4-3 wide 9 alignment, and so I expect my ends to be like speed ends to try and get around the end. You know, like the old Dwight Freeney, lower the shoulder, or then if he gets countered, then he does a spin or something. But it feels like with them, unless you have quarterback contains on, it feels like the end really gets, I don't know, swallowed by the tackle very easily. Now, did you guys do anything with rush lanes or anything like technique-wise? To try and get around the corner? Did you guys focus on any new moves this year for pass rushers?
No, it's largely the same as it has been outside of tuning changes.
I gotcha. And then with that, and say they have a lot of time in the pocket and the scramble, how last year I was very frustrated at a lot of receivers that would maybe not go to the open space on the field if it is a scramble drill. and they'd run towards defenders, and I'd throw a pick because they go the wrong way. Did you guys look at scramble drill AI at all?
I thought you didn't throw picks.
Well, I use Jay Cutler because of his tackle rating.
Oh, nice.
That was the best quarterback I used this year.
There wasn't, to answer your question directly, there wasn't like a large focus on scramble drill, but I will say that there's many of us internally that know about that struggle that you're talking about and are always trying to make small improvements along the way. I don't think it's ever going to be a big feature focus for us. Like, oh, hey, guys, guess what? We improved scramble drill this year. I don't think that would be a great resource spend. Really?
Okay.
But it is something that a lot of us who play the game a lot notice, and it's something that we're always trying to improve.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, hopefully it does end up one day on the, you know, the feature page. Maybe the community wants it or something. But that's it for my question, Tex. Oh,
no,
go on,
Clint. It'll get there one day, I assure you.
Okay.
We hear your feedback all over the place. We're listening to you guys. We know what you guys are into. We just got to find time to get to it all.
All right. Appreciate it. Tex, question.
Okay. So this is going to be a CFM question. I'm not too sure how much hands-on you have with CFM. So the upgrade system changed from last year, where last year you can just upgrade your player and with just the XP you gain, whereas this year it looks like you have to upgrade packages to get them to a certain overall, so or to upgrade certain attributes, I should say. So running back, if you got like 3 skill points, and go from 78 to an 81, whereas last year a running back can go from 78 to like a 95 if you won a bunch of awards and had a great season. What was the main reason you're changing that system? Because a lot of people seem to have objections to it, because guys like Alvin Kamara, who had a great rookie season, wouldn't be able to go from a low-tier card to a high-tier player based off this new system.
So the only thing that I can say about franchise right now is anything that's been played thus far in franchise mode has not been completed. The tuning that they were working on at the time all of these builds started to go live is not done. So anything, any sentiment happening with Madden 19 franchise mode is incomplete.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Hey, what would you – this is going to kind of be a multi-part question. Let's just start with the first one. What do you think – like, what's your ideal Madden defense? Do you like man coverage more or zone coverage?
I really mix it up. I know that you're going to call me a general – homer here, but I really mix my coverages up. I try to figure out what exactly it is my opponent is running and try to find the right thing for them. And I'm a guy that rarely blitzes. I usually send 4 on most plays, sometimes 5, but I'm going to find the right spot to blitz. But I mix my coverages up pretty well.
Okay. Because, like, all right, so when I think man is probably the toughest. I mean, zone's not easy either, but man's probably tough to balance from a gameplay perspective, because it's either bad or really good. It, like in 18 here, man for the whole year was terrible until we started getting 99 speed, 99 man coverage corners like we have right now. Now man is actually competitive, or slightly before now. So it's not, it felt that way in 17 too, where man kind of was tough for a while. Then it got better near the end of the year once we got better man coverage corners. Are you guys looking to make man like in Fight Club? Man's really good. Like, how often do you want man coverage being a dominant D?
And I gotta tread carefully here, because again, I gotta follow the first rule of the closed beta.
True.
Sorry. We are pretty happy about man coverage right now, and I say that because man coverage takes away a lot of the routes it's supposed to, and it takes away a lot of the routes it didn't last year, so it's changing the meta. But there's still a number of routes you can run to beat man coverage.
Okay, and I think that's ideal, like, if there's a counter for man. But, like, because if man's really good, it becomes degenerative, basically. All you have to do is just call man and just sit there, and then, like, maybe cover the middle with your user a little bit. And it becomes basically a boring game. Just throw drags or slants, and it's not very – take your 3 yards and then fall down. So – I like that there are counters for man. All right, so moving on with that, with the counters and the cheese on defense, like with cheese, and I'm sure you've heard this. I feel like the community uses the word very liberally. But do you plan on nerfing something if it's used too much by the community, or do you think about you want to add a mechanic and a title update that'll be able to be a counter for the play? Or will you take the wait and see approach and see if the community can find a defense for it? So what's your balancing ideas this year?
It could be any of those. It could be none of those. Every situation is unique. As things come up post launch, as they always will, you have to handle each case individually and see what the best course of action is. So that's a tough one to nail at this time.
Okay. So it's kind of, cause like last year when we had Rex on the podcast, we talked about WAM being overpowered, and he basically said find WAMD. And in the end, I found WAMD, and WAMD is not that good against me now. I know a lot of people complain about it and that stuff, but
just for that one specifically, we went out of our way to balance WAM this year for Madden 19, and I believe I called it out in the blog, but there's we put in some new animations for the defenders to use against the WAM block. So if that guy actually wins that block, he's going to have an impact on the play, whereas last year, sometimes when he would win, he still wouldn't be able to make the play.
I gotcha. Because I do notice that in Fight Club, WAM isn't that good. So I feel like a lot of the community wants you guys to make like counters for the plays and put in like stuff to counter each of the plays. And you say you tuned up zones and hopefully that'll stop a lot of the maybe quote unquote glitchy routes, the crossers that aren't covered by cloud flats and that stuff. So ideally, do you guys hope to put in more counters for if glitchy plays are found?
Yeah, that's the ideal solution. If something is taken over the meta, you want to put in something that can counter it for sure. That's not always possible. If you want to look back a couple of years just to the Swerve, there's only two guys that could counter that thing effectively in the world. And you know, we struggled with that here for a little while to fix that as well. So sometimes you guys are so good, you find things that we can't fix as straightforward because you guys are so good at the game. But like I said, every case is unique.
I gotcha. What was I going to ask next? Texas, you got a question? I'll try and think of what I was going to ask.
Go ahead. So as a developer, so on defense for the secondary, what do you value more as an attribute? Block shit or impact block?
On defense?
Yeah, as for secondary, for cornerback safeties, not for linebacker, not for the front seven.
I would say impact block for the defensive backfield.
Glad you agree with me. Because a lot of these people made golden tickets this past year, and they couldn't increase impact block, unfortunately. I wasn't one of the choices. They all did block shit. I'm like, these cards should be great, but then they don't actually get off the block because the impact block, the new features y'all added where people are moving, and so the higher the impact block the receiver has, then the less the defender has, ends up resulting in not getting block shit, which results in you not being able to stop the run.
Yeah, we didn't do a great job of messaging that change last year. I know that we wrote about it in the blog, and we tried to shout about it at every opportunity that we could, but I don't think there was that many people who actually knew that impact block was impactful for the defense. So please tell everyone. It is.
I'm trying to. They still want to argue with me. I'm the Kim God around these parts. They still want to argue with me. That's why I go. That's why I try to get anybody with high impact block.
So you guys, I got time for two more. Pick out your two best questions you got left.
Okay. Okay, can we go through the new stats quick and I just ask you quick questions on each one? Is that too many?
Pick the ones you care most about. I got a rule here.
Okay, gotcha. So, yeah, we are holding you. Texas, ask your final question, then I'll think of which one I want.
All right, got you. With the full year under Frostbite, will we see more dynamic changes in weather, and will we see like less fans in stadiums?
So one of those things is outside of my control. The second thing is not in 19. That's for the weather. It's definitely something that I feel extremely strongly about going after in the near future because this Frostbite does that very, very well.
Mm-hmm. I see it in Battlefield a lot. It looks beautiful. Yeah. Changing an environment is awesome. All right, Falk, what you got?
Man, I don't know. I'll just ask something simple, let you go. Are there more traits in 19 than 18, or are traits similar?
You talking about an ultimate team?
Yeah. I mean, traits. Do traits matter in CFM? They do, don't they?
Yeah. They still. Nothing has changed in that space. So everything should be working the exact same as it did last year with the existing player traits. And I'm sure Madden Ultimate Team is going to have some cool stuff coming at some point.
Oh, teaser. So is there still a chance to get a blog on all the stats and traits, or?
It's up. It's in the franchise blog that went out during EA Play. All the new ratings are included in the franchise blog.
The new ones. What about the old ones?
The old ratings.
Gotcha.
None of the old ratings are in the franchise blog. Only the new ones. We still haven't gotten a plan together on how to accurately and concisely get a ratings document put out to you guys. So I don't have a status update on that one.
Okay. All right. Well, when the short, medium, and deep route running, is that just based off routes or yardage that they are away from the line of scrimmage?
Those are route based. As a good rule of thumb, look at where the deciding cut move in the route is, and that should tell you that should give you a pretty good idea of where it lies. So as a basic rule, slant is short, dig is medium, vertical corner post is deep.
What about a C route that has multiple?
That would be deep.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Clint.
Come back route.
Yeah, guys, I appreciate you guys having me on, and thanks as always. You guys are, you know, good positive influences in the community.
I wouldn't go that far.
You know, always trying to grow the community, trying to keep everyone positive, keep everyone involved. And I appreciate what you guys are doing, and I appreciate you guys having me on and asking me the questions to get out to the people who listen to your show.
Yeah, let us know in the comments if you guys have any questions that you'd like answered. Maybe we'll try and have Clint back, I don't know, in months time from now, or whenever he has time after the launch. But Clint, really appreciate you generously giving your time, and even though the community sometimes is a little rough, we do seriously appreciate you coming on and educating us on the game that we love.
Yeah, no problem. And thanks again.
All right. Thanks, Clint. See ya.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.